Let me, in your behalf, welcome our brother Ankel Alvarez back to the Kingdom of Mourne. He counts this as his home. He tells everybody that this is where he came to learn English, and this is why he has good English today. And we, again, are delighted to renew fellowship with him. He made us very welcome when we were able to be over at his church in Madrid for the opening of their extension just, I suppose, a year and a half ago or more. And it was good to see the church there and the folks and his home as well, and meet with Kelly and little Carolina. Now, Kelly's not able to be with him. That's his wife, of course. She's working. But he has his little girl, Carolina, with him at this time throughout his deputation meetings. And we welcome them both. And our brother Ankel is going to come now and minister to us. God bless you, brother.
To the different meetings for my deputation meetings, but in this occasion, this is a very special joy for me to be here today. As your minister said, this is over here. This is my home church, and in some special way, I always carry this congregation here in my heart, no matter if I'm here or in Spain. As I have very good memories here in the congregation. And as your minister said, at first it was a little bit hard to understand the lingo here. And some of those words and some of the pronunciation, I struggled quite a lot. But if you can understand me, well, you did a good job. If you cannot understand me, well, that's your fault. If you can turn to the book of Psalms, Book of Psalms, we're going to read in Psalm 34. There's only one verse we're going to read today in this psalm. And that's verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. We'll just turn to the Lord in prayer and we'll ask him for his blessing as we meditate upon his word. Let's all pray. Our eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this great privilege we have to come before Thee, to the house, and worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank Thee that we can do so through and by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank Thee not only for His death on the cross, and also as we celebrate even today His resurrection from the dead. And we thank Thee for He now liveth forever, to make intercession for us. And Father, we pray that in his name thou wilt also bless us today as we meditate upon thy word. We pray that through thy Holy Spirit, and as he will be ministering to us, that thou wilt speak to your hearts, that thou wilt open our minds, that thou wilt lead our will according to thy holy will, and that thou wilt write thy heart, thy word into our heart, that the Holy Spirit will be speaking to us, and that we will be living this thy house in full assurance that thou will have been speaking to us even today. Fill us with thy Holy Spirit and give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to thy church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I have a question for you. I would ask you to consider this question and try to answer this question in your mind. What is it that really makes you want to serve the Lord as a newborn Christian? What is it that makes you really want to serve the Lord in your life as a Christian? And maybe you will answer, well, it's my desire to serve the Lord. I really love the Lord, and I want to serve him. And that's fair enough. But the Apostle Paul, in his second epistle to the Corinthians, he gave us a much greater reason for which we must have this desire to serve the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, we read this sentence. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Now, take note of what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He's not speaking about our love for Christ. He's not saying, for our love for Christ constraineth us. He actually is saying, for the love of Christ, that is, the love of Christ for us is that constrain us. Is that the motivation of our heart, the desire of our heart for which we want to serve the Lord as newborn Christians. And then when we read there that the love of Christ constraineth us, that word constraineth, it makes us think of that which fills our desires and our motivations. So in that sense, in the light of that verse, our service to the Lord is not motivated on our love for Christ, and that's true. But first of all, our service for the Lord should be motivated by his love toward us, his love for us. When we read there that he loved us and he gave himself for us, that's what should make us love the Lord more, even more, and want to serve him in our lives as newborn Christians. So in that sense, our service, because our motivation is focused on Christ and his love, our service to him is not focused on ourselves, but actually on his person, on his work, and all that he has done on our behalf. And in that sense, we will see here that truth will captivate our heart. It will govern our will. And it also will leave us with no reason, with no other desire, but to do what the Lord wants us to do in our lives. And this is what we find here in this verse, in Psalm 34, verse 8. The basis of Christ's love for Christ's love for us is the basis for this sentence here, for this truth that we find in Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. We can see actually here how we can taste and see God's goodness in our lives. And of course, I'm going to bring a report, but I want to bring it within the message, and also some application through this passage here. And what we can see here concerning, of course, our service, and also not only our service here where you live, but also even concerning the foreign land, concerning the mission field, or maybe the Lord will call you to the mission field. Well, in that light, is that the way I want to consider this text, this passage from Scripture? When we read, "O taste and see that the Lord is good, blessed is the man that trusteth in him." In the light of this verse, we can consider the great privilege we have to serve the Lord as we taste his goodness, as we taste and see his goodness in our salvation. Now, in order to really appreciate that, this great privilege we have, we need to consider first of all, what we deserve without Christ. What do we deserve without Christ. Because then in the light of what we deserve without Christ, we will see our great privilege in Christ. And then that will thrive our heart. And that will motivate our heart and our being and our will in order to serve the Lord. So what do we deserve without Christ? Because here we see that we can taste and see God's goodness. But that is only through and by Christ, his person and his work. Now, let me please not take for granted that everyone here today is a newborn Christian. And when you hear about God's goodness, maybe you will think, or you will think of yourself, that maybe you're a good person. Are you not reading here about goodness? And maybe you're thinking about your own goodness. And the way you think about your own goodness is by comparing yourself to those who are outside, those who are in the world, those who are not here today worshiping the Lord, those who are deep into sin in the world. And maybe you think, you're reasoning to get within yourself, well, I haven't broken into a bank. I haven't killed anybody. So in that sense, I'm a good person. I'm not like those criminals there in the world. So what you're doing this morning, right now, if you're that kind of person, you're comparing yourself to the worst of society. But that's a very relative and a very deceitful way to consider yourself, spiritually speaking. In order for you to consider yourself in the right way, spiritually speaking, you need to consider yourself in the same way God looks upon you. And the way God compare he looks upon you is not he doesn't compare you with the worst of society. He actually confronts you with his perfect holy law. And we find his law there summed up in the Ten Commandments. So we don't have time to go through the Ten Commandments. We'll just go through some of them. And let's see, in the light of God's law, what we look like, spiritually speaking. For example, some of the Ten Commandments. Have you ever, in your life, in your whole life, have you ever told any lie? Or I should say, have you ever told lies? Of course we have. What the Lord commands you, thou shalt not lie. So you have broken God's law in that sense, in that commandment. Again, we find his word in his word, and this is not only for children and for young people. This is for everybody. We have parents. But listen to me. You young person, you child that are here today, have you ever disobeyed? How many times have you disobeyed your parents, your mother and your father? Well, I'm sure you cannot even count them. What the Lord tells us, he commands us, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother, and so on. So in that sense, every one of us here have broken God's law in that commandment. Again, maybe you say, well, I haven't broken into a bank. Well, have you ever taken away something that didn't belong to you? I'm sure you have. Well, you have broken God's law in that commandment as well. Because he says, thou shalt not steal. The Lord Jesus Christ, he says on the Sermon of the Mount, that if a man lusts a woman, or if a woman lusts a man, that person has committed adultery in his or her heart. So in that sense, we all have broken this commandment, at least in that sense. And the Lord says, thou shalt not commit adultery. So again, we have broken God's law in that sense. Again, you may say, well, I haven't killed anybody. Well, in 1 John 3:15, the Lord says, if you have hatred against a person, either a brother in the faith, or your neighbor, if you hate a person in your heart, we read in that verse that we have killed, we have committed murder in our heart against that person. And again, we have broken God's law in that sense. Through my deputation meetings, I've been showing a video and a PowerPoint presentation. In order to do that, I have my laptop. I connect my laptop to the projector, and the projector can project the whatever I have in the laptop on the big screen. Well, imagine for a moment that instead of connecting my laptop into the projector, we could connect your brain and your heart into the projector. So we could project every single thought, every single desire of your heart, your most secret desires, your most secret inclinations of your heart, right into that big screen. And everybody could see that right away in that big screen. What would people see? Well, you know right away what people will see. And that's what God says. He doesn't only see the external actions. He also sees right into our heart, right into our inclinations of our heart. He knows right away. There's nothing hidden before his eyes. And in the light of his word, and in the light of the fact that he can see right into our heart, we can see there in the light of his holy law, we are just before the just of the earth, the God and our creator, that we have broken God's law in every single way. And we can go through the other five. I have just gone through five commandments. If we go through the other five commandments, we'll see those commandments that four of them, they have to do with our love toward God. We'll see that it's even worse. We are wicked, we are sinners, we are sinful people. And in the light of God's word, in the light of his law, only looking at those commandments, we are disobedient to our parents, we are thieves, we are adulterers, we have killed, that is, we are murderers, and so on. So what do you think we deserve without Christ? In the light of the way God looks upon us through his law. Well, maybe you will reason within yourself. Well, does he not say here that the Lord is good? Therefore, if the Lord is good, he will forgive me no matter what. In the end, I will be saved because he is good. Well, imagine that you, a criminal in a court of law, and all the evidences have been given for that person to be proved to be guilty. That person is guilty, no doubt. But then the judge says, well, in spite of all the evidence that you are the criminal that have done all these bad things, you've committed this crime, I'm going to set you free. I'm going to overlook your crime, your punishment, and I'm going to set you free. You can go through the door. What kind of judge do you think that judge would be? That judge, of course, would not be a just judge. He would not be righteous. He would be even cruel, we would say. He could be unjust, because he's overlooking the crime and setting that criminal set free. How much more God, that we read in his word, in the book of Genesis, shall not the judge of all the earth do that which is right? So when you come to a verse like this one here, and it tells you that we can taste and see that the Lord is good, don't think that you can taste and see the Lord's goodness for your salvation on the basis of your own goodness. Because as the word says, the Bible, the word of God says, that there's no good, not even one. We have all broken His law in every single way, either in thought, in word, or in action. And in the life of His law, we are condemned. Maybe you will think, but that eternal punishment, that eternal punishment, it's a far too big punishment to bear. Well, imagine a citizen. A person kills a citizen in the street. He will receive his punishment according to his crime. But imagine that instead of killing, we'll say a normal citizen in the street, that criminal kills the queen of the country. Well, that person will receive a greater punishment. Why? Because punishment is according to the crime, the degree of that crime. That person receives a greater punishment because he has killed a person with great honor, or with a greater honor than just, we'll say, a normal citizen. How much greater do you think our punishment is, or the punishment we deserve? As we have this honor, the great honor, the infinite glory of our eternal God and Creator, every time we have broken God's law, we have dishonored the great glory of our God and Creator. So, since we have broken God's law and we have dishonored His eternal glory, therefore we deserve eternal punishment without Christ. So don't you ever think, when you come to a verse like this one here, that the Lord will accept you on your own goodness, or maybe on the false conception they have, this false concept of God's goodness, that He will overlook your sin because He's righteous, He's just, and He will never ever overlook your sin and your punishment. He will punish you. Because we deserve that. We all deserve that. But you see, there's something here that the Lord not only leaves us in despair, of course. He gives us here hope. Because it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Now, that is only through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a good, just judge on earth would never overlook a crime and the punishment of it. But God, who is good above all, is infinitely good and merciful and gracious. He has done something far better. Of course, He will not overlook our sin. He has punished our sin. But through Christ, He has given us His only begotten Son. Our sin will be punished. Actually, He was punished on Christ when He died on the cross, taking our place. Now, Christ not only took our place on the cross. Sometimes we have this concept that Christ only took our place on the cross. But that's only a part of it. Christ took our place when He was born. Because we are born with sin. We are born sinners. He was born without sin. He took our place in every single second of His life, because we are sinners and we sin against God every single day. So He took our place every single day of His life, fulfilling God's law perfectly in a way we will never do. And then, of course, He took our place there on the cross when He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Take Christ out of the cross and put every one of us on that cross, and we will see our place, the place we deserve, being forsaken of God. But He took our place. And of course, he also rose from the dead in our behalf. And through his life, he gave us eternal life. As we repent from our sins, and we trust, and we see here, as we trust in him. So this verse, actually, what it tells you right away is, when you come to God, if you want to come to God, and you must approach God in order to be saved. If you want to taste and see that the Lord is good concerning salvation, if you're not saved here today, the only way you can do that is not by trusting in yourself. But as it says here, blessed is the man that trusteth in him alone, for salvation. And that's what we deserve without Christ, eternal punishment. And with Christ, through Christ, we have received, through faith, we have received a great privilege. See, we were held, as I say, eternal hell deserving sinners. But through Christ, we have received the great privilege to become children of God. We were not able to worship him, and he would be pleased with that worship. We were not able to serve him. We were not able to have fellowship with him. We were not able to glorify him in the way he's pleased to. But through Christ and in union with him, we're enabled to do that. And that's a great privilege. From hell to eternal glory. From being children of wrath to children of God. And if when we have that in mind, and we have that written into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, then we can understand, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Is that the love of Christ that will motivate us, that will thrive our life, and we will really desire to serve the Lord? Now, this is the amazing thing that God's grace has done in our life. We read in Luke 17:10, speaking about our service to the Lord. When ye shall have done all things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. I actually like the Spanish version better. It says, we are useless servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. That is, even if we were able to do everything that the Lord commands us to do, we have to say we are unprofitable servants. Because all our service is stained by our sin. It's imperfect because we are sinners. And we cannot obey God perfectly, neither before salvation nor after salvation. So that's the way we should consider our service to the Lord. But then, this is God's grace. If we continue to read in Luke 19:17, we read, notice how we should consider our service before the Lord. Now, this is the Lord speaking to us, how he sees our service. And he said, in the light of the parable, so in the application, this is God, he says, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful. He looks upon us and he sees a good servant, a faithful servant. How is that possible? Well, when we come to Christ and we put our trust in him, as we read here, we come to this great blessing, to trust in him through faith. We read there, in Corinthians, same chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, but then 21st verse 21. For he hath made him, that is Christ, God has made Christ be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, what we read in that, what the Lord is saying in that verse is that when we come to Christ, when we put our trust in Christ, God our Father looks upon us and he sees Christ's perfect righteousness. So in our service, our imperfect service, or sinful in the sense that it's full of sin, it's full of imperfection, God looks upon us and he sees Christ's perfection. And that's why he can look upon us at the end of our service and say, good and faithful servant. Because he's looking upon Christ's perfect righteousness imputed to us. And this is the great privilege we have. That we, though we are sinners saved by grace. And through grace, we can serve the Lord. And he is pleased with our imperfect service. And this is what the Lord has called us to. Every one of us, of course. But speaking about the work in Spain, the work in our church in Alcorcón, the Lord has called us to serve him, though we are imperfect and we are sinful. And we know that everything we do is just unprofitable in the sense that we can do nothing without Christ. But the Lord has been pleased to bless the work there in the church in Alcorcón. And we haven't done anything but trying to be faithful to the message of the gospel. As we read here, trust in him. We're trusting in his word. We read in his word that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And the Lord has been adding to your church in Alcorcón as many as should be saved. And I don't have time now to go into details, but I just mention some of them very briefly. Some of the new family. I'm just going to mention some of the families that have been added just last year, 2015. Some of those families, they come from a National Presbyterian Church. This National Presbyterian Church is the oldest Protestant church in Spain. And that denomination has fallen into apostasy. Other families that are now in our church, they come from other churches that have gone astray from the truth of the gospel. And they wanted to serve the Lord and they wanted to worship the Lord on the biblical basis. So they left those denominations. And now they start to attend our services last year. And they heard God's word being preached. And they applied for membership in our church last year. We also have the great privilege to see people coming to faith in Christ. Outsiders, that you could say here, that they came last year. And they're being saved. And even some of them that used to come years ago to Sunday school. And they left. And now they're in the world. The Lord has some of them, the Lord has brought them back, and they are saved. They are saved through the gospel, through believing in Christ, in the gospel. And the Lord is adding also some of them. I would love to show some of the pictures that I've been showing through the deputation meetings. But then, this is not the occasion. Even there's a Jehovah's Witness. He was a Jehovah's Witness. And some years ago, about 10 years ago, he came to your service. And then he started to argue with John and with myself. Then he left a few days after that. And he came back last year. And he told us that he got saved. The Lord saved him through the ministry, through listening to the gospel on the internet. And he came back as a saved person. And he told us about his testimony and he wants to be a member of our church. When I go back, he will apply for membership in our church. There are some other people around the neighborhood that we've never come across with them. They just heard about the church, and they start to attend the services. While I was here, I was talking to John Hanna last week, and he told me that there are more people coming. There's another young man, 26 years old, that again from one of those denominations that have left have forsaken the truth of the gospel. And we are also the town hall. He was telling me also that the town hall in Alcorcón, they are helping us because we are trying to reach those the neighborhood, those who are in need of food because of the crisis. So the town hall is helping us because they are sending some families. And while I was here, John Hanna told me that there are three new families that are going to the prayer meeting. So instead of giving the Bible study that he normally does, he's preaching. He's preaching the gospel to those families. And he told me there's even a Muslim woman. They're attending the prayer meetings on Wednesdays. And some other people that I could not go through all of them. But just to be brief, in the light of this verse, we have been tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. And it's been a blessing to trust in Him and in His Word. And seeing how the Lord has been blessing the ministry there through the preaching of His Word, and He's been pleased to add to his church as many as should be saved. And at the present time, again, if I could, I would show you a picture of the hall, the main hall in our church. But those who have been there, some of you have been there. But just to tell you, we were about, some years ago, we used to be about 40 plus people attending the services. And at the present time, we are 67 members. So that doesn't count like children and people that are not saved, some other believers there that are not members yet. So we have to put, and glory to the Lord, we have to put even extra chairs on the services, because the morning service is packed to full capacity. And I'm just saying that to bring glory to the Lord, because as we see here, it's the blessing of God. As we read His Word, it's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. And this is what the Lord has called us to. You see, there are churches, I've mentioned some of those churches that have gone into apostasy, and I'm going to go into all the details there in Spain, those churches. But it's the same here in Northern Ireland, of course. And some churches, in order to bring people, because they have departed from the gospel, and the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That is God who brings people in the church through the power of the preaching of the gospel. Since they have departed from the gospel, they are bringing other things into the church in order to bring people in the church. But what they are actually bringing in is worldly things, man-made techniques to bring people in the church. So what they are bringing in the church is not actually sinners. It's sin. That is, things of the world, and the church is becoming worldly. And we have to take heed of that danger. Because if we don't come and taste and see the Lord's goodness in our life, in the light of our consecration to Christ who loved us and gave himself for us, we could be on the same road. We could be on the same road of departure from the truth of the gospel. So we can only taste and see that the Lord is good through trusting in Him. Not only you, if you're not saved for salvation, repenting from your sins and putting your trust in Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior and giving your life to Him and serve Him, but also as newborn Christians, as we are, those who are here, we can only taste and see that the Lord is good by being faithful to Him through His grace and have the experience of being blessed as we trust in Him and Him alone. But there's one more thing here that I would like to consider with you today, this morning, and I'll be much shorter in this other aspect. Because we not only see here the great privilege we have to taste and see the Lord's goodness in our salvation through Christ, but we see here the right perspective we need to have in order to taste and see the Lord's goodness in our service to Him. Every single word of God is inspired by Him, by the Holy Spirit. But not only the words, the order of the words is also inspired by Him. And in that sense, read the order of these words. It doesn't say, "Oh, see and taste." It says, "Oh, taste and see." It's not a matter of sight. It's a matter of faith. If it was a matter of sight, it would say, "Oh, see and taste." But it says, "Oh, taste," that is, through faith, by trusting in Him, as we are reading the second part of the verse, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And if you want to see things done for the Lord, we need to come to Him and trust in Him through faith. There is an elder in the church. Was Carlos here giving his testimony? No. Well, there's an elder of our church that he came here at the end of last year. He was going through some of the churches, giving his testimony. And this elder of our church, he felt the call of the ministry to serve the Lord in the ministry some years ago. But for several reasons, he kept postponing his theological training in our Bible college in Spain. Family reasons, work reasons, and some other different personal circumstances, by which he kept postponing his theological training. He was putting those things first, and then for those reasons, he couldn't go into the training for the ministry. He wanted to see, you see? He wanted to see, physically see, those things that hindered him, kept him from going into his preparation for the ministry. He wanted to see, physically see, all those things taken away before testing the Lord's goodness in his life in this sense. But then something very providential happened. 2014, the Reverend Ian Harris, he went over to Spain to encourage the missionaries of our denomination in Spain. And we asked him to preach in our church. So he was emphasizing the great need to give ourselves to the service of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to this man, our elder in our church, Carlos, in such a way that instead of postponing his theological training for the ministry because of those reasons, he set aside those reasons, and then he gave himself to the Lord. Instead of trying to see and taste, he realized that first of all, he had to taste. That is, come to the Lord in faith, and then He will provide, and then he will see that the Lord is good, and He will not forsake him. So if you want to see things done for the Lord, don't try to see, physically see. Don't try maybe you can relate to the case of our elder there. I don't know your heart. In the same way that I don't know if you are saved, I don't know if the Lord is calling you or will call you to His service. I mean, in the sense, full-time service, either to the missionary work or into the ministry. But maybe you can relate to our elder. And then, because of different reasons, I don't know, family reasons, or work reasons, or some other reasons, you are postponing your training, your theological training for the ministry. Well, you are trying to see and then taste. But that's not what the Lord is telling us here. He is commanding us, taste and see. And you will see the great blessing to trust in Him. As you put your trust in Him and you take His word to your heart. We need to trust that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And let me tell you something concerning the work in Spain. We have a great need for more missionaries and ministers in Spain. John Hanna, he's been in Spain for almost 40 years. Next year will be his 40th year in the ministry. At the present time, he's 67. As you say over here, he's very much alive and kicking, but there will be one day that he will have to retire. And Lyle and Heather Boyd, they've been in Spain. Lyle has been in Spain almost 30 years. Miss Joy Gillespie, she's been in the south of Spain for 18 years. And when I went to Spain in 2003, I was ordained in 2003, and since 2003... there has been nobody from the Free Presbyterian Church that has gone over to Spain to work for the Lord in the mission field. And that's over 13 years. Over 13 years that nobody from the Free Presbyterian Church has gone over to Spain. And there's a great need. We have good fellowship with some good faithful churches there in Spain. And some of those churches, they don't have minister, their pulpits are vacant. Some of them, they are coming into the age of retirement. And again, those pulpits will be vacant as well again, because we don't have younger men that are coming after those men that were there at first. And those pulpits are being empty, are becoming empty, because there are no men coming after them, after those who were at first. And we have a great need for missionaries and ministers in Spain. I mentioned Carlos going into this year, our elder, he has started to study in our college. In the Wycliffe College of the Bible, just to give you an idea, in the Wycliffe College of the Bible, you need about 10 or 11 ministers to cover all the subjects. In our Bible college in Spain, we only have 3 ministers. Some of them, they have retired. Some of them, they left. And we are only 3 that are lecturing some of the subjects. And it's impossible for us to cover all the subjects. And in that sense, we also need more men, well prepared, to train other men that will go into the ministry. And we are in desperate need of more men in that sense. You want to see things done for the Lord? Well, we need to come to the place of putting our trust in Him and giving ourselves to Him. How can you taste and see that there is good in that sense? Concerning the mission field, concerning the land of Spain even, or some other place. Well, first of all, if the Lord is calling you, taste that calling. Give yourself to Him. Put your trust in Him, and you will see what He's able to do in your life. Maybe the Lord will not call you to His ministry, to His service. How can you then taste and see that there is good in the sense concerning the mission field? Even, for example, the work in Spain. By praying to Him that He will bless the work in Spain. Also, by, of course, supporting the work there in Spain and so on. We are too far comfortable where the Lord has put us. Maybe you're a parent and you have a child. Well, ask the Lord, Lord, let me taste and see your goodness concerning my child. And if it's your will, teach me how to lead my child in the way that he will or she will surrender himself to herself to thy to your service. And he will become a minister or she will become a missionary. You need to come to that place. We need to come to that place. You see, it's an exhortation, a full of exhortation. Taste, see, and trust. It's not, well, this is the Lord's goodness, and He will do it, no matter what. Of course He will do it, but He uses means. And the means is this great privilege He has given us. We have the treasure of the gospel in our hands. We have experienced that gospel in our lives. And He called us to be epistles of Christ for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. In the laboral area, the Lord will call every one of us to different places. Maybe you will be a farmer, or you will work in an office, and so on. Well, that's God's goodness for you in your life concerning the laboral area. And do your best to do that, because you're doing that for His glory. But if the Lord is calling you to His service, in the sense that I'm talking about, as a missionary or as a minister, there's no other way for you to taste and see God's goodness but to give yourself, that is, trust in Him. Give yourself to Him. And do what the Apostle Paul did or said when he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's tasting. And he saw what the Lord was able to do with a useless person like him. And for that regard, as useless as we are. Just to finish, let me finish with this. When Moses asked the Lord this great prayer, Lord, show me thy will, show me thy glory. That was a great prayer. Show me thy glory. Do you know how the Lord answered that prayer? It's a very interesting way he answered. That's in Exodus 33. The Lord didn't say, well, I will show you my glory. And that was it. Well, the Lord showed him his glory, but in this way. He answered that prayer, show me the glory in this way. I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Do you know what the Lord is teaching us here in this passage? He's telling us, if you want to taste and see the Lord's goodness, or in other words, if you want the Lord to make all his goodness pass before you in your life, he's telling you, seek for my glory. Seek that my name will be glorified in your life. No matter where you are, no matter what call will give you, either in secular work or for the service of the Lord. If you want to taste and see that the Lord is good, we need to consecrate ourselves to him and experience this great blessing of one that trusts in the Lord and in the Lord alone. Let me read this and I finish. Spurgeon, he preached on this text, I just realized that not very long ago. And he also had a very small devotional on this text, Psalm 34, verse 8. And since it's very small, I'm going to read it and I'm going to finish with this. He called this devotional "Tasting God's Goodness," and he wrote in his devotional, "There is a depth, a matchless depth in Jesus' love. There is a luscious sweetness in the fellowship with him. You must eat, or you will never know the flavor of it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Behold how ready he still is to welcome sinners. Trust in him and live. Feed on him and grow strong. Commune with him and be happy. May every one of you who shall sit at his table have the nearest approach to Jesus that you ever had. Like two streams that after flowing side by side at length unite, so may Christ and our soul melt into one until only one life shall flow, so that the life we live in the flesh shall be no more ours, but Christ who lives in us." Do you want to taste and see that the Lord is good? If you're not saved, you must come to Christ, put your trust in him, repent from your sins, and you will taste and see that he is tremendously, infinitely good. He will make you a child of his, enabled to serve him and worship him and have communion with him. If you are a child of God, realize the great privilege we have that he has given us, that we can serve him, and give yourself to him no matter where you are, no matter what you do in your life, and no matter what call will call you to, and experience the great blessing to trust in him and in his word alone. May the Lord bless his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Amen.